before we get into the podcast episode, let me tell you, this episode is brought to you by World Truck and Auto Body in Traverse City, my sponsor. Located right behind Classic Motorsports off of US 31 between the Chum's Corners and the mall. Auto Body and collision repair for any size vehicle. Commercial vehicles, semis, RVs, motorhomes, regular cars, trucks, SUVs. They've been around for 26 years, man. Nobody sticks around for that long if you're not good at what you do. They're great at what they do, just not good. 26 years of experience. Say hello to the owners, Jeff and Bob. They're sandblasting specialists. Have anything metal sandblasted or painted or just sandblasted ready for custom paint. Classic cars from all over Michigan come to World Truck and Auto Body in Traverse City to get stripped and get blasted, ready for paint. They also do custom door work, garage doors, entryways for custom homes, free estimates, no obligation. Call Jeff or Bob over there, 231-943-9945. Call or stop by World Truck and Auto Body in Traverse City, located right behind Classic Motorsports off of US 31 between the Chum's Corners and the mall. And it's very important that you tell them that you heard about it on the podcast. I'm encouraging people to smash their car just to go to my sponsors. Crash your car and go to World Truck and Auto Body, and I appreciate it. And tell them, dude, I listen to the podcast, so that's great. Also, Amazon.com. Do any of you guys shop online? Do you shop at Amazon?
Yeah, a little
right
bit,
here,
yeah.
Right here.
All right. go to Amazon.com, but through my website, and then I get a little kickback at the dollar amount that you spend. We get a little small percentage, but it adds up. So thank you. If you enjoy the podcast every twice a week, then you go to Amazon.com through my website, omeletradio.com. All right. So let's start the podcast. We have the KBK band, Kevin B. Kline, and there's some exciting news in the Kevin B. Kline camp. First of all, let me introduce the players that are here today. We have Kevin B. Kline.
Yeah, baby.
And we have Mick Bez.
Hey,
Mick
now.
Bez. How do you say your last name?
Bez,
B-E-Z. That should be pretty easy.
Yeah.
Bez.
Nice and simple.
And then we have the newest member, or one of the newest members, Chris, who is on bass.
How you doing?
What's up, Chris? Chris is the new young bass player, and you also have a drummer, which his name is Steven, right?
That's right.
And these guys are both young dudes.
They're young dudes, and they're from my stomping grounds, man. They live a town south of us, and they're really kicking it, man.
And Chris is only 17 years old.
Can you believe it? He's taller than me. He makes me and Mick look like two munchkins.
And your drummer is how old?
He's 16.
16?
And the thing is...
Where'd you meet these guys? Chuck E. Cheese?
We're robbing the cradle.
What is it, Mick?
We're robbing the cradle.
Yeah, man.
You know, the thing is this. I needed to find a couple guys that didn't have day jobs and or were... musicians, real musicians that didn't have day jobs that went out and they were working musicians. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And because the thing is that I can't have somebody going to work every day and they can't make it to rehearsal and stuff. So this was a great fit. And the thing is, the caliber of talent that I have here right now is ridiculous. And you'll see it by watching the videos, listening to my music.
Yes, yes. How did you hook up with these guys?
Well, what we did is I had a gig. It was it was down in Ypsilanti, Michigan, and it was called the Maidstone Theater.
Yeah.
And we went there, and it was like, it was kind of, I would call it like an all-genres type bashers, 10 bands. And it was, there was a lot of heavy metal there. We were probably the lightest band, I would say, out of everybody.
Yeah, I'd say so.
And we went down there, and I met Chris first. I walked up to him, and man, I'm just telling you, there was like this magic when I met him. And I was like, this kid looks really cool, and I can't wait to hear him play. You
if
know?
You told me you were 24, I would have believed you. I mean, everybody looks young to me. You
exactly.
Know?
Well, and he's got long hair, and he's tall, and you know
and,
what I mean?
And you were in another band playing that day, right?
Yeah, I had an old band with the drummer. They were called Phoenix Rising.
Did KBK make you quit that band?
No, our bass player quit.
Were you the guitarist? Oh, so
yeah, I was the guitarist, yeah.
You were the guitarist, and then you became the bass player for KBK?
Yeah.
Was that the first time you played bass?
No, I played bass before that, but this is the first time I played bass.
And being so young, how long have you been playing?
9 years now.
Wow. So since you were 8 years old?
Yes.
See, I did the quick math. That's
and the
omelet radio math right there.
And, yeah. And I can tell you, this kid, he can play runs and stuff through the music that is so tasteful, and it's just, it's amazing.
You know what? Before we got the interview started, I noticed that he made a bunch of references, like he wants to meet Nikki Six. I mean, if you know that music, you're kind of an old soul with your musical taste. You've got the long hair. You've got the rocker look.
Yeah, I was born in the wrong time.
You were born in the, but you're
he was born at the right time.
Your ear, so your musical influences are what?
I grew up listening to only the Beatles from ages like 8 to 12.
Wow. And I cool, got cool parents.
Yeah, yeah. I would all of them.
How, is that how you became exposed to that awesome classic rock and roll music?
Yeah, yeah.
And his mom is here. Tracy is a wonderful lady.
I'm so glad that she came up for this trip also. I mean, it's awesome.
Chaperone. She didn't trust KBK. You're going where with who?
Well, and it's great to see the support, though. I mean, we got a really great support group all around. It's like, man, we got the light shining on us, man.
Yeah, and I was like, immediately, I was like, oh, my God, his mother's here. But then now she's having a cocktail. She's hanging out with my wife. I mean, we're all good friends. We're all like the same age.
It's great.
Anyway, but what about going to school? You wanted somebody that didn't have a job, a musician that doesn't have a job. I mean, you probably didn't have to search too much for that.
Well, and I can tell you about the school thing. I skipped a lot when I was in school.
Are you in school?
Yeah, I'm a senior.
Senior?
We tell them to skip.
So this is your last year?
Yeah, I got a few months.
Nice. And coming up is President's Day tomorrow. Yeah. We're recording this on a beautiful sunny day. It's a Sunday in northern Michigan. It's like 60 degrees outside. And we were just enjoying a couple of cocktails on the porch, on the deck and stuff. And then we had to come in here and get the business done, you know? We'll just bring that party from outside inside. But what are your musical influences besides the Beatles? What else are you into? Do you like Motley Crue and stuff?
Motley Crue is my all-time favorite band at this moment in time.
Nice. What's your favorite album by Motley Crue?
Too Fast for Love.
Nice. That's an awesome one, man.
It is.
Too Young to Fall in Love. It's got Looks That Kill. It's got
Shout at the Devil.
Shout at the Devil, man. Do you know how to play those tunes?
I could try.
They're going to perform for the podcast at the end of the episode. I'm proud to say that I was the first person to ever have Kevin B. Kline on the radio in northern Michigan. Now everybody's having Kevin B. Kline on the radio.
Well, and I'm proud of that fact, too.
Media whore.
I'm so proud of that fact because I'm like, for me, you are a radio icon. In my eyes, you are like my biggest hero on radio. You really
That's
are.
That's all? Just an icon? I'm just kidding.
You're a pillar,
no,
man.
No, thank you, Kevin B. Kline.
No, you really
know what
are.
I've always admired about you is that you are the best promotional machine I've ever seen in a band. In fact, I have a story, and I didn't tell you about this beforehand, but I've been looking for the right radio job, right?
All right.
And so I go to these I go to the Facebook pages of these radio stations, and I've noticed, you know how that says friends of yours that are already following this radio station?
Yeah.
So I was looking at a radio station in Daytona Beach that was looking for a morning show, and Kevin B. Kline's already their friend. And then I see other suggested radio stations and all of a sudden I'm clicking these other radio stations. Kevin B. Kline is following and liking every radio station in North America. Yeah. I mean, it seems like he is like Birmingham, Alabama. Kevin B. Kline's already following them, already liking them. I mean, that's the genius that you have, and especially, I think Nikki might have something to do with that. Nikki is their the band driver, the band booker, the band publicist, the band financier, the band chef, the band. everything. So, you know, you owe it to a lot to your wife,
so,
Nikki, for
yeah,
helping
I can
out.
Give you a little skinny on some of that,
She's a
too.
Videographer, documentarian,
yeah, I can,
social media.
She does all of our posters. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I can give you skinny on some of it. One thing that I learned from my my pals down in Nashville, when we went and we recorded the album Good Day to Be Alive, my drummer, Jay Took, He is amazing, man. He's been playing with some of the finest, biggest names out in the industry.
He's a great
Keith
player.
Anderson, a ton of people like that, country artists and stuff. great player. And he told me, he said, what you need to do, he said, as soon as you get this album done, he goes, put it out on DMDS. And DMDS is a digital distribution company that sends your money to all the radio, or sends your music to all the radio stations and stuff like that. So that's what I did. Now, what I was doing, like you said, you seen me hitting up all these radio stations. Most of them are on DMDS. And I went through their list and I hit them up. Then the second step I did was I jumped on Facebook and I looked in areas. And of course. You know, I hunted because I'm going to tell you this right now, man. This kid's a winner. When I put my music out there, and I believe in my music, you know. And the thing is that in this band, with all of us, there's no arrogance or anything like that. There's a lot of belief. There's a huge belief system, because if you don't believe, you can't achieve.
Of course. You know? If you're not believing it, how are you going to get anybody else to believe in
it? Exactly.
So, you know, that's, you know, it's a must. What Kevin Bekline, the message of the day is, and there's a link on the podcast episode, you know, when you get this, there's going to be show notes at the bottom of the episode, and Kevin Bekline's website is on there. It's kevinbekline.com, and they are wanting your votes to the chance to open up for Bon Jovi. And the Bon Jovi show is coming up on March 29th. They're playing at the Joe Louis Arena. And based on your votes and a couple of other factors, I mean, Bon Jovi's going to be the final deciding, but they're going to take the top 10 vote getters, and those will be the bands that will be considered for the opening act for Bon Jovi. And that is coming up. The deadline is coming up soon. So now they're on this Northern Michigan promotional tour. So if you're listening to this episode, please do the band a solid and go to kevinbekline.com, and all the information is there. There's a link as to how you can vote for them for the opening slot. And it really makes them look good. That's a major consideration of how much love they get on social media. All you got to do is click one button. Click the link and then click one button and it show them the love. They've got thousands of votes already. So they just want an extra promotional push. That's why they woke up early in the morning on a Sunday, come up to Northern Michigan. They got a hotel. They're doing radio stations. They're doing a bunch of shows. I mean, once everybody heard Kevin Bekline on my radio show, then now everybody wants him. But I'm glad. I am really glad. So please vote for them, and they're going to play at the end of this podcast episode. So let's talk about some of the other things that you guys have going on. You guys are playing Interlaken coming up. But first, March 10th, the longest concert, world record something, and I'm going to have you guys talk about that, at the Kid Rock Shed at the Eastern Market in Detroit. Again, that's March 10th. March 25th, they're playing the Eagles in Interlaken, and it's to benefit the Interlaken community.
Yes.
That sounds pretty shady.
That's awesome.
Well, it's a benefit for the Interlaken community. What are they going to do? Just like throw a bunch of singles up in the air? They're going to make it rain in Interlaken.
Actually, like for that event, what they're doing is in case some kid needs, like maybe he's playing on football and he needs some pads or whatever, they're going to, you know, they'll help him out. If somebody's homeless, they find somebody that needs a little helping hand. That's what they're trying to do. And I get asked personally to come down to perform for this show, and they said, I really can't pay you. And I said, it doesn't matter, because I'm helping somebody out in the community, and I think it's a great cause.
You guys do a lot of benefits, and especially for the veterans. But you know what? I'm an Eagles member, so I'm just kidding about that. But they always, they're always, it's called, I call it Party with a Purpose. I stole that from Jimmy Buffett. But, you know, Eagles, there's cheap drinks. They're always doing something good for the community. So that's March 25th at the Eagles Interlaken, and I will definitely be there. And then March 29th is that opening act for Bon Jovi. And that's also a genius work of Bon Jovi to do this kind of, you know, hey, we're going to get all the local bands in the Detroit area to essentially promote their show, you know, which is a great idea.
It's amazing.
And plus it gives somebody a dream come true. Could you imagine playing an arena? An arena. You're in front of 15,000 people. And, you know, I think that kind of crowd will embrace somebody that, you know, living their dream, getting a shot, you know, so that is super cool. And you guys have the originals. You guys have the video on the website that you vote for the band that you want to, Kevin Bekline, kevinbeklineband.com or kevinbekline.com. What was I going to say? Let me go through the list, and then we'll go back and talk about the longest concert. And then you guys are March 30th in Harrison at the 50th Homecoming at the American Legion 404,
Right? That is, yes.
So talk about this longest concert. And the guy that you have playing on drums, and I'm so glad you got the full band now, because it was you and Mick before, and that was great and everything. And that's good for, like, you know, that's like what I like to call coffee house rock. But now you guys could, you know, the drums and the bass and the whole thing, man. The vocals, the background harmonies are going to be there. Talk about the longest concert at the Kid Rock shed. I didn't know Kid Rock had a shed. Are you guys going to play in his backyard, like next to the lawnmower?
Yeah, what we're doing is, I know, it's called a shed, and it's huge. It's like a big...
amphitheater.
No.
That's what a shed is, right?
No, what it is, it's like a what do they call things they put the airplanes in?
Hangar.
Like a hangar. Yeah, it's like a big hangar is what it basically
is.
Yeah.
And it goes on for how long?
That goes on for over 2 weeks. I think it's 2 weeks and a day.
Whoa.
Yeah.
24/7?
Yeah, so they got to find all these bands in Detroit to play this event.
You got
to
be kidding
me. We got an hour, 1 hour.
That's pretty awesome.
We're going to be at lunchtime, and we're giving them something to eat.
Oh, yeah.
Lunchtime on the 10th. March 10th is what day of the week?
Friday.
It's on a Friday. We are the Friday
at lunch.
We're the Friday special.
Nice.
Yeah. All you can eat. Get
so
it
you
while
guys
got
to wake up early to play for noon.
We're always up and ready to play.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So what about the new album? Are these guys, the new guys, Chris and Steven, are they going to play on the new album?
They are. They're going to play on the new album. And I got some tricks up my sleeve. So when I get a little bit closer, I'm going to reveal a little bit more of the info and stuff. People see it on my website. They'll see it on my Facebook and that. And
let's have some exclusive announcements right now.
Yeah, well, you just got one of them because I got some new players here that are going to be working on the album, which is going to be great. I'll bring in some of the old guys on some of my material, and it's going to be really cool. It's going to be a big pot of greatness.
How come Steven's not here? Did he get like?
He
get grounded? Yeah.
Yeah, he's totally grounded, man.
So were you and Steven friends before you met Kevin B. Kline?
Yeah, he was the drummer in the band I was telling you about.
Okay, he was in Phoenix Rising?
Yeah, yeah.
Nice. So
they met in preschool.
And did you guys leave that band after you met Kevin B. Kline?
Our old bass player quit, so it's kind of just done now. It's kind of just chilling.
Couldn't find another... Oh, so you were the guitarist for that band?
Yes.
So you moved over to bass, but you were familiar with playing bass before?
Yeah, yeah. Because like we'd record demos and stuff, and sometimes I'd play bass.
See, you've been playing since you were 8 years old.
Yeah.
And what are the first couple of songs that you learned to play?
The first one was Batman. The first day I got my guitar, then a week later it was Day Tripper.
When you're 8 years old, do you have a smaller guitar? Because your hands are like you have childlike hands, right? So it's a smaller guitar, is that right?
Yeah, yeah.
So you don't still play that guitar?
No,
right?
No. I moved on to better.
He gave that one to Mick.
So what was it about? Nice. Mick, these guys are all vertically challenged, except for the new guys.
Yeah.
Mick and KBK are vertically challenged.
Yeah.
But when they're on the stage, much like AC/DC, I mean, they look larger than life. So it doesn't matter what your height is. We just always make fun.
Yeah, it's true. The girls are always telling me, too. They go, I thought you were much larger. And I go, hey, it's not size that matters.
Turn out the lights.
Yeah, we stand erect. Yeah.
Nice. So so you guys are excited. You're banging the drum for the votes. And what have you guys been up to? And you guys also frequent Nashville and stuff.
We were just in Kentucky, man. Balcony TV, Kentucky.
Balcony TV. And where could people watch that performance? I did see that. That's a link on your Facebook page.
Okay, well,
follow Kevin B. Kline on Facebook,
Twitter,
Instagram. Go to the website, kevinbkline.com. And talk about Balcony TV.
Now, Balcony TV is really awesome because what it is, it's a, I would call it a social network that what they do is they actually turn nobodies into stars because, as Mick can tell you, who did we look up and find on
they
Balcony TV?
They have like Edward Sheeran, Mumford & Sons on there before they were anybody.
Ed Sheeran, yeah.
Yeah, he was on there twice before
anything,
yeah.
And the redhead dude that was on the Grammys the other day, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Exactly, that's where he started off on Balcony TV, so if people don't know what it is, like I said, social networking.
Bands play on a balcony?
They play on a balcony.
And then they put it on TV?
Throughout the whole entire
balcony
world.
Balcony TV?
That's why they call it, and it's throughout the whole world. And it's really cool because that's a show that you have to be specially chosen to play on. You just nobody can just go and say, "Hey, I want to play on your show." They have to pick you.
Did you guys end up playing the national convention? Remember there was a convention of some sort.
We did that. Well, we played. Actually, we played the 2015 National Guard Conference, and that was for our National Guard for 8,000 people. Now I know what you're talking about. You're talking about after that was for the presidency thing.
Yeah,
yeah. What we ended up not playing that because what happened is.
Were you guys like Vince Neil? They initially invited you, and then when it was time for the inauguration, they said they're like, Vince Neil, who?
Well, what they did is we were booked to play it, and we had everything worked out, and the government couldn't afford it. They couldn't afford to pay for the entertainment, so they ended up getting local people to play. So it was they made it really low key and
they went with the Rockettes.
Yeah, they went with it's crazy. They went with a local band, but they kept it really, really super low key.
Right.
And which. In that aspect, I really didn't care because there was so much going on with the presidency and stuff. A lot of, like, bashing, and I didn't want any part of that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, it was cool. It's all good.
Did you guys support a certain candidate?
I do. I just believe in our rights, man. I mean, I'm a Trump supporter and stuff, but I just believe that whoever's going to do the greatest thing for our country, that's what I stand for. I stand for freedom. I stand for rights.
Born to be free.
Everybody, born to be free. I wrote a song about it and stuff.
It's a good day to be alive.
That's right.
I know a lot of people don't like Trump and stuff like that, but you know what? Give him a chance. He's our new president. And the thing is, if he can help out America and make it better, make it a better place, we need improvement, man.
Make America great again.
Exactly. And I'll tell you something. We travel all over the United States.
He should use that. I just came up with that.
Yeah,
you did.
That's a good one. But
you know, we should make hats. Make them red.
Yeah. Wow. We travel all over the United States, and I'll tell you something. There's a lot of homeless people, and we wrote a song called The Homeless. Hopefully, I can help some people out. If this song makes me a lot of money off of it, hopefully it does. And, you know, I want to get somebody off the street because I feel that if I could get one person off the street, I just changed the world. You know, because in that person's eyes,
well,
man,
you just picked
changed.
Up Mick, so that counts.
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and you know,
he sleeps in the guitar case.
Yeah, and all these kids too, man. I got these young guys in my band, and you know what? This kid, he may never have another day job in his life. He never even had one yet.
You've never had it. You haven't had a job yet, Chris. You're not working at McDonald's or anything.
Nah, screw fast food. I worked on a farm. I picked gourds.
Oh, really? What are gourds?
They're like...
It's like a squash.
Yeah.
But harder.
Don't ask me.
It's a hard squash.
That's cool.
And you know what? Believe it or not, the first time I heard him play guitar...
Do you have a paper route or anything?
No.
Hey, the first time I heard him play guitar, I said, oh my God.
And joke about that, but we love you, man.
Yeah. I heard him play guitar, I was like, oh my God.
Yeah. What are the logistics? I mean, did you have to ask their parents if they could be in the band? I mean, Tracy's here and she's super cool. But yeah,
she's awesome.
I mean, do you have to, do they ride their bike over to your house? I don't know.
Every time.
No, they actually, I was pretty impressed. They get some cool rides, man, believe it or not. These kids, you know, they're
nice. Well, they're a little Detroit
kids.
They're
high society, man. Yeah, it's Motor City.
And so you guys are rehearsing. How's the full band coming together? Because you were just with Mick for a long time. What is, do you love it when the full band kicks in? Mick, you must love that.
Oh, yeah, man.
Instead of being the only guitar, you know, if you screw up, everybody knows.
It's great having these guys back us, too, you know, and it really rounds out our sound and, you know, gets the full effect of the songs, too. So it's a great asset.
And it gives Mick something else because now he's my band coordinator, which is really great. You know, it gives
music
him,
director.
Exactly.
He really is.
Just
and
gave him a new title.
Well, he is because the thing is that there's so much going on with the music in that, and the new guys have to learn it. Mick knows everything note for note.
Yeah.
He's got his timing down pat, and it's like there's a lot. And I mean, I got other things to worry about. I'm booking shows.
Right.
I mean, I'm doing all my promotion. You know,
or
so.
Nicky's doing that.
Man, I'll tell you one thing. That is such a great group effort.
It is.
And it takes an army to win a war.
You're right, man. He's taking care of the music and getting these guys, learned and up to speed on the tunes. And you're doing the booking and you're doing the scheduling. So remember what, like these videos, you used to put a lot of Facebook Live or Periscopes where you're driving down to Nashville and Mick is like in the back. He looks like he's in a scene of E.T. You know when E.T. is like in the middle of all the stuffed animals? And he's in the back seat there. So where are you going to put these guys, on the roof?
Well, these guys, actually, we carpool now. We have to. We got no choice.
Yeah.
Right. You came up here with two cars, and his mom is here. I got to get Tracy to come on the podcast as well.
Yeah.
I got to see what she thinks of this. Hey, Tracy, why don't you come on over? You could go around. The cameras are set up in the bathroom, which is right next to the studio. It's a high-class operation.
It's amazing.
Nikki's sitting on the toilet in there.
Thought I heard something.
Come on over here, Tracy. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
You got
to
talk right in the microphone.
Nice to meet you.
So what'd you think of this character, Kevin B. Kline, when you met him? And when did you find out about this? This morning?
No.
Mom, could I ever ride to Traverse City?
Yeah. No, Chris keeps me informed of everything that's going on. He's pretty good about that.
Awesome. You guys have a nice mother-son relationship?
Yes.
And you're open to him making a life of music?
Well, it's his life, so yes.
But, you know, sometimes the parents like try to direct the kids.
I just direct them to graduate from high school.
Yeah, one thing at a time. And does that look like it's going to happen?
Oh, yeah. That's
what kind of student is...
He has to maintain a certain grade to be able to play.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yes.
And what kind of, like, is he in, like, wood shop, metal shop, like me? You know, like, doing all the vocational stuff?
No, this year's is kind of... The only class he really has to take is English. He's taken all his other core classes.
Ah, so get the essentials done early in the high school, and then he could just take cooking class and three gym classes. Nice. And he's got the long hair. What about the girls? Does he date?
Periodically, yes. He likes his music more. He'll drop a girl for the music.
Wow, yeah, that's important early on.
Gotta have
on.
Your priorities, man.
I saw this documentary that Kiss put out, and one of the first things that I saw when I was about 16 years old, like right around your age, and it said, you know, Gene Simmons or Paul Stanley, one of them said, if you want to make it in this business, you got to get rid of your women. And I would halfway agree with that. I mean, you got to have a good support system. And if you got a woman like Nikki, I mean, that's a home run right there. But, you know, it could be, you got to go out and play again. Are you going to Traverse City to promote? Like, you know, we got to go to a Jack and Jill baby shower. You're going to the baby shower and I'm going to Traverse City to promote. Like, you got to have, it takes a certain special someone to be that supportive, you know, through thick and thin. What about you with the ladies, Mick? Anything going on there?
I'm still holding on strong to the 6'1" I got, you know. So,
do you guys? Oh, that's right.
Yeah, she's an Amazon.
What's her name? She's
Elizabeth.
An Amazon. Jesus.
Oh yeah. We're straight from the jungle, man.
And do you guys live? You guys live together?
Yep. Yeah, we
do. I only met her once, but is she one of the, you know, one of the cool ones that is supportive of your endeavors?
Oh, yeah, she lets me do basically whatever I want, yeah, so it's pretty cool.
She, like, please get out of the house.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, you're going away? Nice.
Yeah, it works out really good. She's very supportive, and she loves the whole music aspect of it anyway, too, so.
Nice, and what does she do?
She's a CNA, a certified nurse assistant. Takes care of the old folks and that. Yeah.
Wow, nice.
Yeah. We're prepping her for our old age, man.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's right. You know, there could be some diaper changing going on.
You never know.
Now, Kevin B. Kline, you've always gravitated. I mean, your promotions and your effort is just unmatched by anybody that I think I've met in this business. You guys will go to the NAMM show in Los Angeles. You guys will go to Atlanta. You got a gig coming up at the Hard Rock Cafe in Atlanta. You guys are working Kentucky. You guys are in Nashville. You guys are downstate. You're playing at the longest concert world record at the Kid Rock Shed. You're playing at Interlochen. You'll play at American Legion. I mean, you'll play for Bon Jovi to the American Legion. I mean, from, you know, that's pretty much a wide spectrum.
And I'm also
wherever there's electricity, you will find the Kevin B. Kline Band.
And I'm also a member of the Michigan Association of Broadcasters.
How is that? Just by being on the show so many times?
No, I ended up, it's really cool. It's just something that my wife and I decided that, you know, we should try to go for that and see if, you know, if I should join this awesome group. Because, you know what? I'm the guy that's making the music. Shouldn't I be a part of it? So I went and we connected, and now I'm a member.
Now, with more band members, there could potentially be more problems. You know, I mean,
there could be
scheduling problems, dedication problems.
Exactly.
Somebody bringing up the rear musicianship-wise.
somebody coming to practice, rehearsal sick and stuff like that. And there's a lot of stuff because, like, these guys go to school, and with them going to school, I always worry because they're going to bring some germs over. And I mean, that's really a critical thing for us because I'm a singer, man. I don't need a cold. You know what I mean? I don't need strep throat.
I got you.
I'm not like I'm kissing these guys or nothing like that, but still, you know what I mean?
Yeah, these guys are like debating who's better looking outside, whose hair is longer.
I know, I'm they're like, following the lead of the big guy.
Can he play the bass? And now, what do you think of the music that you were presented for Kevin B. Kline? I mean, you'll probably be part of the, you know, initiating musical ideas in the future, but seeing that, you know, the new tunes have been written for the new album that you're going to be recording soon. What do you think of the music? And have you heard Shake Shake?
I love the bass in that song.
You do?
Yeah. He gave me his album before, like, I joined and stuff. So, like, I listened to it, and I was, like, a genuine fan of it, so it's cool to actually play it.
Wow, that's so cool.
It's not like I'm in, like, a tribute band playing somebody else's songs. Like, I'm in... with the actual.
Yeah, originals.
And the great thing, too, is, like, we're working on all originals, we're working on a lot of new stuff, and Chris is coming up with some killer, like, runs in a lot of these songs. And, I mean, like I told you, he's a great guitar player. And the thing is that a great guitar player makes a killer bassist, trust me. And he tells Mick, he goes, man, he goes, Mick asked him, he said, how do you like playing the bass? He goes, dude, it's like playing solos through the whole song, you know?
Now, what about getting these guys into clubs? Is there any issue on that because of their age?
Ever. Never an issue. You can play in any club you want as long as they're not drinking, you know? And what keeps them in a club, if they're selling merchandise afterwards, they can stay in all night long. So... We get loopholes.
I need my mom after 10.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
They mark your hands with X's.
So you have to be out by a certain hour?
Well, if I'm with an adult, I don't think it has to be my guardian. In which so,
Tracy, are you ready to go to a bunch of shows?
Unless
you have been?
Yeah, she has been. And
does she go to everything?
She went to everything that I did previously, and she's going to go to, like...
It's like, man, do you have to bring your mom again?
And it's awesome. I love seeing her. And the thing is that, like I said, if he's selling merchandise, he can be at a merch table. He can stay in a bar until it closes. So that's actually a plus, and it's a loophole in the system.
Yeah.
So
I mean, it's happened before. You've heard about, you know, people, I was too young to get in the bar, but they used to, you know, bring me in the back or whatever. But, I think that's
everybody loves
out.
Seeing them, man. Everybody. It doesn't matter where we go. All these guys, man. People love seeing them. They love to meet the band. And the thing is, I'm one of those artists to where I'm proud of my band. I want everybody to know who's playing for me. I'm not like this front guy that it's like, well, Kevin B. Kline, he's the only guy in the band. No, that ain't the case, you know?
Right. I'm so glad you guys have the full band because that, you know, when the drums kick in, you got a bass and it's just a fuller sound.
It's,
you know?
Nice. It's a different world and stuff. And the thing is, Mick and I have played together so long together. We're so tight. And it's really important for the rest of the band, you know?
Right. There's a foundation in which to, you know, grow, build upon. What about, what's the approach moving forward? I mean, I know that Bon Jovi, I mean, that's like... If you get that, it would be incredibly
exactly.
awesome. But are you trying to hook up with these, you know, festivals or benefits? Or are you guys going to, like, maybe when they get out of school this coming summer, are you going to try to, you know, be traveling and, you know, hit the road? Are you going to be playing club gigs? Like, is there a chance, besides the Interlock, and are you going to get downtown and maybe play some of these bar gigs in Traverse City? Are you going to play Saginaw and... Detroit? Are you going to get into the machine shop? Are you going to try to go ground roots? Or are you going to try to, you know, the big splash with the Bon Jovis, with the world record thing? What's the plan moving forward for the when summer comes?
Well, see, I'm like a strategic artist, okay? And like you were saying, I'm not going to hit every venue that's close to my house. I'm hitting strategic stuff. We're playing at like the House of Guitars in Rochester, New York, where Ozzy has played there. Vince Neil has played there. This is going to be my second run playing there. I'm hitting the Hard Rock Cafes. I'm hitting the masses in a different way. It's kind of just a strategic avenue of getting my music heard faster.
You don't have a lot of time to waste.
I really don't have a lot of time to waste. But the thing is that I feel in my heart that my music's good enough, and I've got so many fans, especially in the Traverse City area, thank God, you know, because of you, Omelet, you really introduced me to a ton of people. And the thing is that what's really great, not to like toot my own horn or anything like that, but my music is actually taking me places. You know, and that's a great thing. Originals are great. That's why I'm not the local bar band, and I'm not hitting all these venues like that.
Right, because a lot of times at these venues, they want you to do 75% covers.
I can't do that.
And you don't want to do that.
I can't do that. I'm a songwriter, man. It's against everything I believe in, you know?
But how much of a percentage of cover tunes are you willing to do to get a gig?
Maybe one.
One?
Yeah, one probably one.
Out of an
that would
hour?
Be about it. Well, maybe we'll do Crazy Train. But there's a reason for that, Omelet. The reason is this. Every time I put a song out, people are going crazy over it, and they love it. I get a song called Long Gone. I've got a super fan in Saskatchewan. It's her favorite song. I've got people, when we hit certain different venues, when we did Maidstone, people are coming up to me, and they're like, wow, what was that song, you know? And they dug it. And it's like, it's the special. That's the magic of music, and guess what? Those are the future classics.
You know, the fact that you guys are doing originals and sticking to your guns on that is pretty...
It's hard. It's tough.
It's tough because a lot of club gigs, you know, like I said, they said, okay, you got to play 75% covers, so you're not going to be able to get those
and
gigs.
Guess what?
You don't want those gigs.
You know why? Because when my song Good Day to Be Alive goes to number one in the nation, everybody's going to want me. And the thing is that I believe like a little kid. And the thing is, you have to in this business. If you don't, you're going to fail.
Why hasn't it hit yet, Kevin B. Kline? Because you've been hitting the radio stations. One time you went to New England and I gave you a bunch of radio stations that I knew. And damn it, you showed up at every one of them. Has the airplay started to happen? I mean, do you think that's an essential thing? Because I know radio stations, even, you know, some stations that I've worked for recently, we won't mention any names, but I mean, you know, they're really not breaking new music.
It's,
you know,
well,
it's a hard time for rock and roll right now.
You know what? Actually,
to
right
be
now,
honest.
It's a hard time for all music, but the thing is, you have to do what I'm doing. Like you said, you never give up. I never give up.
Right.
And I keep poking because guess what? People are hearing my music. I'm getting exposure. What you need to do is you have to hit the masses, okay? To get into the big machine, which is the big, iHeartRadio. I'm an iHeartRadio artist. But to get into their playlist with Live Nation, which with this Bon Jovi thing, it kind of like correlates together really good. If Live Nation loves Kevin B. Kline, Kevin B. Kline will be played on iHeartRadio. It's part of the big machine, and it's getting into
right.
that. There's a lot of people that know me, and Mick can say, how many cities have we been in where people recognize me?
Every single one.
and we
it's true. It's true, though.
It is. Honestly,
yeah,
100%.
You guys went to St. Louis.
We've been to St. Louis. We've been to both NAMM shows. We've been to New York. We've been to the UP. We've been all across
and now,
the nation.
You guys are playing a big festival in upstate New York this July 28th, right?
Yes.
What's the name of it?
Called the Harbor Fest, and it's for Oswego, New York. And it's upstate New York. It's right by Lake Ontario.
Oswego.
Yes.
If you could say Oswego, hello Oswego, they're going to like, who's this guy?
Oswego! But yeah, and there's going to be like...
But good for you, man. Exposure, get in front of people. And then if you get, let's say, 10 new fans and they tell their friends and then they're listening to it in the car and then they're like, hey, what's this band? I kind of like it.
Well, you know, it's really amazing because, you know, I listen to... when I'm in the car and I'm driving up the road and I listen to Sirius XM, all right, for example. And I got people that are fans of a certain show that I listen to, and I met them through Facebook. And I mean, they're listening to my music and they're asking all these other radio stations to play my music, and which is really great. I mean,
right.
I got, and a lot of times people, well, I've had a guy out in California has bought all my music already. I mailed him physical signed copies because I wanted him to have the signed copies because, hey, you're my fan, you're buying my music, I'm taking care of you, you know? And it's like, it's great. I got fans that do that, and they're all over. I mean, they're everywhere across the United States, Canada, in Europe, I mean,
now KBK, when you submitted this video, which there's a video performance by the whole band on the website,
yes,
that were in which you could vote. You could look at the other bands. Don't watch the other bands. Just vote for Kevin B. Kline, so right. They can open up for Bon Jovi.
Well, you should watch other bands and see how good we did, because I'm proud of these guys. They really did fantastic.
I looked at a couple of the other bands, and like some of these bands have like a full video. Like there's a storyline. There's a girl that walks into a bar, and then there's like other bands.
And you're going to submit
like
that
it's almost
for...
like a concept video. Like, it's almost like something that you'd see on MTV.
Like, why
that's
going to
be a little intimidating.
In my opinion...
The song was crap, but the video looked great.
Well, you know, when we first got the info on this, what this was supposed to be, what people were supposed to do, is actually do band auditions. How are tracks that were pre-recorded a band audition? It's not a band audition.
Yeah, and were you're they lip-syncing in some of them,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, all of them are. And it's
and
like,
you guys were playing live.
Exactly. Yep. And that makes the difference. And to top that, I've had so many shares on this Bon Jovi contest at bonjovi.com. You know, I've had so many shares and comments. It's the comments that mean everything to me.
Right.
People are wishing and praying and hoping we make it. I mean, hundreds and hundreds, I should say thousands of them. And everybody's mentioning people, all of us guys playing in a band. And it's like, it's personal and it's great.
You know, on iTunes for podcasts, the way you get rated, like they have like the top 100 podcasts in the country and stuff. And what a big part of the algorithm, and I don't even know what that means, algorithm. I hate that word. I'm sure I hate what it means. But part of the what gets you rated higher is comments and reviews. And, you know, it's just not the amount of hits that you get, but the amount of comments and stuff. So it's a whole, like, there's a lot of things considered.
Exactly. And I'm sure that Live Nation looks at all that, and they're going to check everybody out. They're going to look at my website. They're going to look at everybody's website. They're going to see how many fans do they have. Are they going to pull in like great stuff? And the other thing too, like you said, Bon Jovi's really smart doing this. It's getting a promotion. But what
yeah,
if
all the local bands in every city that they go to are talking about this? You know, everybody's aware of Bon Jovi playing at the Joe Louis Arena on March 29th.
But now, what
another
if Bon Jovi?
I'm feeding into this thing.
What if Bon Jovi has an ulterior motive and he's signing all these people under his label? He's with 50 bands.
Skid Row and I think Cinderella was Bon Jovi got them signed. He put Cinderella on the Slippery When Wet tour, just handpicked.
And I hang with those guys in Nashville, man. Eric Brittingham, the bass player, I hang with him in Nashville. I actually want him to play on my next album. He's going to be like a celebrity guest. He listened to my album, Good Day to Be Alive. He said he loved it. So that's we had hopes there.
You're building up the pressure, man. They're going to play at the end of this podcast. We're going to take a break in a couple of minutes, and then they're going to come back and play live on the podcast. So better be good, man.
It's going to be awesome, man. It's going to be really awesome and stuff. And I'm glad that I got my guys here with me and stuff. And it's,
of course.
We are a force, you know?
No doubt, man. I'm proud of you, man. I really respect your ground campaign. I mean, we're speaking the same language. I'm chasing my dream. I'm living my dream. You're doing it, so we help each other. You've been incredible on social media and traveling and putting the work in, man. You definitely got to respect that. I don't know anybody. They used to call James Brown the hardest working man in show business, and now that he's dead and gone, I think that your KBK is next in line.
Well, and you know,
KBK band. And do you share some of the same philosophies, Chris? Are you willing to hit the ground? Are you willing to, you know, sleep with Mick in a little twin bed and,
like my favorite
and
quote,
go across the country?
Yeah, well, like my favorite quote is, if you want to live your life on your own terms, you got to be willing to crash and burn. It's by Motley Crue.
I love that.
And that's what I'm
did you read The
by.
Dirt?
Yeah, I did. I loved it.
Nice.
I also read The Heroin Diaries.
Nice. Wow, that was heavy, man.
Yeah.
It makes you never want to, you know, touch a drug, because of all that. And what about you, Chris? And what about Steven? Talk about the drummer, Steven, who is even younger. He's 16 years old. What do his parents think? And do you know his parents? You do? And what are they like? Tracy, right? Tracy. Tracy's the mother of Chris, and she's a great lady. Do you need another cocktail? We're about to take another break. No?
Good. No, they're very supportive too of Steve, just like I am of Chris.
And you allow him to have the long hair and stuff, or you don't have much choice?
I don't pick and choose that battle. That's what he wants to do. He keeps it clean. He gets good grades. So
as long as he's a good person and he stays out of trouble. Has there been any trouble? Has there been any, you know, arson or anything like that?
No, he's pretty much a good kid.
That's awesome. Don't have any problems with him. You're ruining his image now. He's supposed to be a rock and roll bad boy. Yeah. No, that's cool, but you know, and just like I said, would you have any reservation about, hey, we're going to Atlanta, we're going to St. Louis, we're getting in the car and going? I mean, you know, KBK and Mick, they're good people. You know, they're gonna look, they're not gonna get in trouble, they're not gonna be robbing any gas stations or nothing.
I get my summers off, so I just will tag along too.
Unless they really need to get home, then they'll be like, "Mom, when we come out of that store, I want you to floor it."
You know, and the good thing though is to see his mom coming along, because she's seeing,
she can sell t-shirts.
Well, she can do that. And the thing is that she's seeing something that I created, and her son is a great part of it. And it's like, we're like this big unit, and it's amazing. You know, we're making great stuff happen, you know?
Yeah, and he's going to get 5%.
It's 5 more than I had before. So.
Exactly. And you know what? This is my theory in life. If I can make these guys in this room rich individuals, can you imagine how I feel?
Right.
I mean, it's amazing to be able to help somebody, you know, in life. To take them to a place they could have never gotten anyhow, or they could have probably got there, but it would have taken them a lot harder. And it's like, it's a great thing. It's a good day to be alive.
Well, listen, my goal in broadcasting has always been, man, if I could make a living doing what I love, that would be success.
Exactly.
You know, and everything over that would be, you know, that's high cotton, as Mr. Wendy would say.
You know what? Exactly. Yeah, Mr. Wendy's crazy.
It's high cotton.
Well, you know, and I can tell you this, man. I don't have a record label right now. Nobody owns me. Right. So if I end up making a ton of money off Good Day to Be Alive, say it sells 100 million copies, could you imagine that? I would be like so rich. These guys would never have to worry about anything ever in their lifetimes, a million.
But that album is now old.
No, it's not really. It's not old.
Well,
because
it's 2 or 3 years old.
It doesn't matter, because there is no freshness date on great music. And the thing is, a lot of people haven't heard it yet. It hasn't got heard by the masses.
Right, right.
When the masses hear it, and it just blows up, because I listen to everybody's music on the radio. And the thing is that song has got this special something that every radio station needs in America right now.
What are we going to play today here in the studio?
I would like to have you play Good Day to Be Alive, number one.
No. But what are you going to play live in the studio?
Oh, Good Day to Be Alive, we're going to play live.
Play that, yeah.
Nice. Okay.
We thought about playing my song Long Gone, because I got the right instrument to use today, and the guys really dig the song.
I like the song Never Coming Home, and that's going to be on the next album that you record.
We can play that.
The schedule for that? When is that going to be recorded?
Okay, I feel that with what I got going on right now, because we have so much stuff in the works, I don't want to hold the album up too much, but I'm thinking probably early to mid-summer.
So, right, and then you put it out just in time for Christmas.
Exactly. Right. Well, you know, and the other thing, too, is...
Because I think that song, Never Coming Home, is going to be a big... That's going to be a hit, man.
Now, I may end up throwing a single out there before the album comes out, like I did with My Michigan.
Right.
And My Michigan was a single that I did, and I had to do it because for the love of our state. And I figured that for people that don't know Kevin B. Kline, if I put a song out, My Michigan, people listen to it and they think, wow, this is actually pretty good, you know? And it's all...
It's a different style than you normally hear from KBK.
Yeah, it's very folkish. It's low-key.
Yeah.
And it's humble. It's honest. It's sincere.
I played it on one of my podcasts when you called in, and it's a podcast. I forget the number, but it's called Your Calls and KBK. If you go into a back episode, I play it at the end of the episode.
Yeah,
so if you want to hear that song, go ahead and check that out. But it's a lot different than his style. Would you say your style is more like is it an 80s sound, would you say?
It is. It's... It has that retro vibe to it, and it's current at the same time. If you love 80s music, you'll love my music, but it's current.
And that's what I grew up on. I love it.
Yeah, and, you know, I like writing commercial songs that are relatable, songs that, like, when you hear it, it takes you someplace. Because you got to admit, the majority of people that are listening to the radio right now are our age. You know, I mean, and there's a lot of young people out there, and I'll tell you something.
Well,
young
rock,
people are digging
for rock.
Yeah,
it's like 35 to 64. The demo, you know, older, of course, but
I'll tell you, like, and his group, yeah, his
Chris,
age group.
What about the millennials or whatever you call yourselves? I mean, the music is by most people your age. You know, people are. That are 17 years old. I don't know what they're listening to. I mean, there's Katy Perry. Did you guys watch the Grammys?
Yeah, unfortunately we did.
Terrible.
It was so,
not for me.
It was to me. It was so offending. It was offensive.
I'm a 46 year old man, but I can't relate to Beyonce.
I know.
I hate that. I hate pop music.
You know what? I'll tell you. I'm like, you are a sexy beast, and you're not going to get any action listening to Beyonce. All right, that's all I got to say.
It's just I can't believe what I was seeing. You know
I couldn't
what I mean?
Either. And
I don't like the Lumineers. I don't like you know, like it's got. Alice Cooper said it's vegan rock. Like it's you know
yeah.
he's like
there's no meat and potatoes, man.
And potatoes.
Yeah, and you know, and I got to tell you this, man. When you are like a staunch political type group, and you're throwing these like arrogant statements out, and just. Insulting statements, especially on mainstream media like that. If I was a fan of that group, I wouldn't listen to them because they're forcing it down your throat.
I was looking forward to the Metallica performance,
I was
and
too.
They introduced it as Lady Gaga, yeah. and then the guy's That's microphone wasn't open.
It was horrible, and it's like, why would you do that? And you know what? And I gotta say this, not to cut you off, but I'll tell you this, man. I don't have to pull my body parts out to sell music.
But will you anyway?
Yes.
It depends how much people ask.
Depends no, but what the lighting's like.
Yeah, exactly. No, but the thing is that your music should be so great. Metallica is a great band. And then they put like this meat puppet out there, and she's like, I'm like, why did they do that? She can sing. She's a great singer. She doesn't need to do that.
Lady Gaga is kind of an exception. I'm not really into her music.
But she's a good singer.
She's a great singer, and she used to be front a Led Zeppelin tribute band. She loves Queen. She loves classic rock because she grew up her parents and stuff. I mean, she's kind of an ex.
I like her artistic values is really great and stuff like that. But the thing is, when you're flaunting, like, when sex is like the main thing that you're flaunting for your music, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't have to do that.
You're not going to have any sexy girls in your videos?
Why do that when you got me?
Yeah, there you go.
You gonna put on a pair of fishnets.
There you go.
Exactly.
Nice. So, what do you think when you see the musical climate, like what happens on the Grammys and stuff? Where I'm just looking forward to that Metallica performance, and
I
all the
too.
Other music is kind of, you know, kind of crappy. I mean, and that's what's you know getting airplay
well,
these days.
What it tells me that I have a chance.
Or there's new rock, and I call it angry rock.
Yeah.
You know, on the new rock stations, and everybody's like,
you got to chew glass to sing that.
So hateful rock.
I can't do that. And, you know, and the thing is that you got to remember something, that music is evolving. It's always constantly changing. And people always go back to the classics. They like it because it's the greatest music of all times. My style, I would say, mirrors the classics. And,
yeah.
and I appreciate that as an artist. And that's why I write the way I write.
And what about, like, let's go around the room and start talk about your main influences. What would you say would be your top three bands that you know, that's the reason why you're playing music these days?
Top three, right off the bat.
And your favorite band is Europe, which is
my
always
my favorite
weird.
Band is Europe. I love it because Joey Tempest is one of the finest singers of all times. He really is, man. His voice is just ridiculous. Then I love Bon Jovi. Exactly. And then you got Bon Jovi because they're the most successful rock band. They have John Bon Jovi as the most, he's in the Singers Songwriters Hall of Fame
yeah.
for the most consecutive or the most hit songs that he's ever written.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
There's no arguing with his success. What do you think about his fallout with Richie Sambora? Have you been following that?
Yes,
or
totally.
Think it
and,
matters?
It matters.
Is Mick is your Richie Sambora?
Okay, well, exactly. And I'll tell you this.
Is he expendable?
Mick is amazing, but I'll give you what
that,
I think
that
on
wasn't
that.
A no.
What I think on this is that Richie Sambora made it for 30 years, or basically with Bon Jovi. I mean, they've been together
right.
since you know since the beginning of time, but it's been 20 or 30. I think it's 30, right?
30 by now.
Yeah, it's 30. Okay, so anyways. Like Bon Jovi would say that, you know, it lived its life. And Richie didn't go out like, he didn't dwindle out. He went out with a bang. I would say basically, I seen him in Nashville. When I was recording Good Day to Be Alive, it was in 2013 at the Bridgestone Arena. I've seen him. They're fantastic. Now he's got Phil Lex. Phil Lex is a different chapter. Bon Jovi's still writing the hits, writing good stuff. I love seeing him with Richie. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
When he's with Richie, it's golden. Phil Lex is amazing.
What about your influences there, Mick, as the guitarist for the Kevin B. Kline Band?
You know, I might be a little bit of an oddball, because I kind of like some of the earlier 70s stuff, and then I'm even into the jazz thing, too. But
like what? Like what kind of 70s stuff?
Pink Floyd.
Nice.
I dig Pink Floyd, and then I'm huge on the Eagles.
Nice.
I love the Eagles, and then...
The Joe Walsh Eagles, or pre-Joe Walsh?
Both, actually.
Yeah.
More Joe Walsh and after, actually.
One of my favorites, yeah.
Yeah.
Hotel California.
Oh, after. That's all great. And then Thin Lizzy, I'm huge on them, too.
Nice.
I love Thin Lizzy, yeah.
What about you, Chris? What's your favorites? I know the Beatles, Motley Crue. Motley Crue, you said, was number one, right?
Yeah, I love Guns N' Roses, too.
How were you exposed to that being 17?
Well, I only listened to the Beatles. Then when I met Steve, the drummer... His dad was big into like the 80s hair stuff.
No
like that.
Kidding.
And so Steve.
I want to party with him.
So Steve was too. So he showed me like Motley Crue, Led Zeppelin,
I tell you, I think whoever taught these kids about this, so rock and roll, because sometimes, you know, being on the radio, it's like, man, we need some young, like our older listeners are dying off. We need, like, how come kids are not being exposed to this music? They're going to love it. And thank God when I meet somebody like Chris, it gives me hope, you know, for the future. Just not like liking old, just, you know, if you like Motley Crue, if you like Shout at the Devil, man, that's some great, great music.
Exactly.
But hide the album cover from your parents. When I brought home Ozzy, Diary of a Madman, my mother was like ready to, you know, put me in a military school.
And you know, and it was like,
oh my God, the devil.
She's
throwing garlic at me.
That was an amazing album. That
great record,
I mean, like
yeah.
That music there. That's
Blizzard
what I'm talking
of Oz.
About.
Look at that album cover. If you're not familiar with Blizzard of Oz, look up that album cover. You are going to go to church.
I'll tell you one thing. There's a lot of production on those albums, but there's so much talent. And they put it together. They orchestrated it so well. I mean, that's the stuff we live to play stuff like that. I mean, I want my music at that level. You know what I mean?
And Randy Rhoads is a short guy, so that's encouraging.
Exactly.
What else, Chris? What else besides the Crew? Talk about some of the other bands that you love.
Guns N' Roses.
Yeah, yeah.
I said that. I love Def Leppard. I love Def Leppard.
Def Leppard? Well, like what album?
I'm really big into the early stuff like High and Dry.
Nice!
But I also, I guess it's kind of weird, but I do like their popular stuff too, like Hysteria.
You like Hysteria?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, we got a bad connection. No, okay, listen, let's take a quick break. We'll grab another drink on the patio, and then you guys will set up some equipment. We'll be right back on Omelet Radio. Kevin B. Kline Band, go to their website and vote for them so they could open up for Bon Jovi on March 29th at the Joe Louis Arena. Listen, nobody go to that show if Kevin B. Kline doesn't win this contest, because I'm not going to fall into this stupid promotion.
That's right.
March 10th, the longest concert at the Kid Rock Shed at Eastern Market in Detroit, March 25th at the Eagles in Interlochen. We're all going to be there. And then the March 29th, Bon Jovi. March 30th, the next day, you get the 50th homecoming in Harrison. If you guys get the Bon Jovi gig, are you going to blow off Harrison?
No.
That's probably be a good idea.
I won't do that. I won't do that because...
at the American Legion 404.
Yeah, I can't do that, man. It's for our veterans. And I'll tell you one thing, man. I am a believer that they paid the price for us, and I would do anything for them, man. I never served in the military, and this is what I can do to give back because I never served. So...
And you're too old to serve now.
Exactly. That's good.
And then Oswego, New York, on July 28th?
Yes.
Yep.
That's going to be an amazing event,
man. I know
they're
all looking to Nikki.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that right?
I'm bad at dates, man. But I'll tell you one thing. That's going to be for my friend lives out there. She's gone to that festival many times. And she said it's going to be 7,000 to 10,000 people will be our audience in front of stage. So I'm like, that's
like
amazing.
The Sherry Fest of Northern New York.
It really is. It's kind of like one thing that I thought of because it's on the water. I thought it's like the riverfront in Detroit. I mean, because it's on the main stage and stuff like that, which
right.
Cherry Festival, have you ever tried
to get into Cherry Festival?
It's a hard nut to crack.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've been working my way to Traverse City and stuff like that. I've had we were trying to get Streeters to open up for Jackal recently, but I haven't heard back from them yet or anything. But you know, we're just you know what? I do it this
knocking
way.
Knocking on 1,000 doors, and a few are going to open, man.
Exactly. And you know what? In the long run, everybody's going to want KBK because guess what, man? My music is here. It's what the people want, man.
Hey, the description on this podcast has Kevin B. Kline. It's KevinBKline.com. Go to his website, and all the information's there on the links to vote for them to open up for Bon Jovi. Kevin B. Kline is here. Mick Bez is here. We've got Chris. What's your last name, Chris?
Males.
Chris Nails?
No, M.
Males? Okay, nice. Males. Is that your true name or a stage name?
Yeah, that's my true name.
Nice.
It's like a Christopher.
Christopher Males, and then you've got Steven on drums, who's not here right now.
That's right, Steven McCannon on drums. He's a great drummer, too, man. I mean, he's a young kid.
What are his influences?
Motley Crue, Guns N' Roses, Wasp.
Wasp?
Yeah.
Nice. The kid can wail.
Wacky and Lawless.
He's going to sound deaf. What'd you say?
Nice. Yeah. I thought you were going to say his main influence was Barney. All right, we'll be right back with a live performance from the Kevin B. Kline Band right here on Omelet Radio. We'll be right back. Here we go. I feel like Dick Clark, ready to introduce the band. Hey, for the first time ever on the Omelet Radio podcast, Kevin B. Kline Band, they're going to play a song called Long Gone, right, Kevin?
That's right.
All right, Kevin B. Kline Band. We've got Chris, we've got Mick, we've got Kevin B. Kline. Here we go, live performance in the studio on OmeletRadio.com.
Think it's gonna rain tonight, my heart is on you too. How could I be so blind, what you put me through? All alone, all by myself, time is moving slow. Told me that I was the one, then you let me go. What am I supposed to do with my life? Tearing me apart.
Kevin B. Klein right here on OmeletRadio.com. Unbelievable, man. Let's get a big house round of applause.
Woo!
Yeah! Right here on OmeletRadio.com. Great job, guys. They're going to play one more for the people. It's a beautiful day in northern Michigan, and it's a beautiful day to be alive. Take it away, the Kevin B. Klein Band.
Good day to be alive. Hit it!
Want to thank you guys for coming in and letting it all hang out right here on Omelet Radio. You know, new format for us, but we've always been supportive of you, Kevin B. Klein. The link to his website is right here on the podcast description, so click that. It's kevinbklein.com. They want to open up for Bon Jovi on March 29th. But again, remember these dates. March 10th at the Longest Concert, Kid Rock Shed, Eastern Market, Detroit. That's March 10th. March 25th at the Eagles in Interlochen, and everybody's going to be there. And then we are March 29th, Bon Jovi. Nobody go to the show if they don't get selected. And then March 30th at the 50th Homecoming in Harrison at the American Legion 404. And then they're playing Oswego. You say Oswego, I say Oswego. And that's on July 28th.
Yeah.
Upstate New York.
Harborfest.
Okay, you guys, thanks for tuning in to another podcast. I want to thank my sponsors again real quick. World Truck and Auto Body in Traverse City. And if you're buying anything on Amazon.com, just click through my website. I get a little credit. They give me a little kickback. Doesn't cost you any more. We'll see you on Thursday for another episode of OmeletRadio.com. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. And thanks, Mick. And thanks, Chris. And thank you, Kevin B. Klein.
Thank you for having me.